Welcome, listeners, to our careers article for the month of August, and we're happy you joined us today. I'm also really happy because I am joined by two great panelists with me, and I'm going to let them introduce themselves right now. On my right, I have
Lois. Glad to be back, Amanda. Always glad to meet with our listeners and be here with the panel.
It's great to have you too, Lois. Thanks for joining us. And on my right, I have a special guest with us today, all the way from America.
I'm Mike, and it's a real privilege to be here today with you all.
And listeners, for those of you that may not know, Mike is one of our the spouses of one of our great editors here at Advance, Pam. Pam's husband, Mike, is joining us today, so thank you, Mike, for doing that. We hope that you will enjoy today's article about brainstorming. Now, I just wanted to ask both of you before we get started. Lois, have you ever been part of a brainstorming session before?
Well, at my age, Amanda, I think I've been involved in brainstorming now for decades. Whether it be places I've been employed or places where I've volunteered, organizations or churches or maybe my children's schools, whatever. So brainstorming has definitely been a part of my life, and also even in our family, we did brainstorming sessions.
Great. So you even did it in the family setting, not just business?
No, not just business. We took it to every aspect of our lives.
So I'm sure you have a lot to contribute to today's article. What about you, Mike? Have you ever been part of a brainstorming session before?
Most of my career, Amanda, even today, though, I have a department that I head in a hospital system in America, and we have monthly meetings, and those in my department, we participate in brainstorming to see how we can make our work better and serve our patients better.
Well, that's great, because today's article, we look at some ways that we can improve brainstorming. It seems that one of the things that is difficult is for everybody to be heard during a brainstorming session. Is that something you've experienced before, Lois?
I think that really is a concern. Mm. I think somebody who brings to the table the idea that let's brainstorm, let's get a group together and let's brainstorm, the person that's maybe then leading it or being, the leader in the situation, they actually have to learn to be quiet because you've invited this group to come in and brainstorm. So maybe you have to hold back and let them go for it.
Right. And this is part of our article called An Upgrade for You and Your Organization. So how, when we talk about upgrade, what are we talking about, Lois?
Well, when we say about upgrade, we're actually trying to make the place at a better level that we're working at. Mm. So we might be on, I like to use an example of, we might be at level one, and we want to get way up to maybe level five or whatever. Or some people say now the expression, let's make this top shelf. So now it's really important, and let's get to this level, and let's make this a part of our organization or company or corporation, whatever the case may be.
Right. And in this career article, we have a deck. It says to create a healthy, wholesome, and happy work environment. Mike, what do you think that means?
Well, I think if administration or the leadership is willing, they can see their employees, not just as employees, but as resources, who all have their different ideas and giftedness. And so actually, it's beneficial to get their ideas.
Right. And so, listeners, we hope that you, too, will learn something through this article that will help you upgrade for you and your organization. So join us now as we turn to page 16 in your Advance magazine and begin today's reading from the left column.
An upgrade for you and your organization. Create a healthy, wholesome, and happy work environment. The perfect brainstorm. Free-flowing ideas are essential to a functional workplace, but too often employees find brainstorming sessions are met with silence. What can be done to get everybody participating in the brainstorm game? There are five major reasons why employees don't speak up much at brainstorming sessions. 1. It's not safe or beneficial to do so. They've learned over time that their suggestions are either dismissed or ridiculed at the meeting, or not acted on after the fact. 2. The boss monopolizes the discussion.
3. Well, thank you for that reading, and we're going to begin today with talking about free-flowing ideas. Now, Lois, when we're talking about free-flowing, what are we talking about?
Well, I'd like to look at our vocabulary focus on this one, Amanda, since it's there, and it says happening or done in a continuous and natural way.
Right, and we learn here that they are essential or basic to a functional workplace. What is a functional workplace, Mike?
Well, every company, to me, Amanda, has a set of goals or mission statements that it operates by. And a functional workplace is when everybody in the organization is on the same team and they're trying to meet those goals for their customers or for those that they're trying to serve.
Yes, great. But we see too often employees find brainstorming sessions are met with silence. Lois, what do we mean when something is met with silence?
Well, we're meaning that people, we used to say clam up. In other words, they don't want to talk. They don't want to discuss. They don't want to. When we say clam up, they don't want to open their mouths.
Right, yes. That's right. So what can be done to get everyone or everybody participating in the brainstorm game? Now, of course, brainstorming is not necessarily a game, but here the author is just saying, how do we get everybody participating together in this exercise? Well, we learned that there are five major reasons why employees don't speak up or are met with silence,
right,
much in a brainstorming session. Lois, what is the first one?
Well, number one tells us it's not safe or beneficial to do so. They've learned over time that their suggestions are either dismissed or ridiculed at the meeting or not acted on after the fact. Now, Amanda, when I read this, I was saying, surely not in a company, because as soon as I read this these two sentences, I thought to myself, this sounds more like that would happen to you if you were in junior high or high school. What do you mean you get ridiculed at the meeting or not acted on after the fact? So it tells me that the person who's brought the group to the table isn't very mature themselves, and maybe brainstorming doesn't work for the individual who's leading.
So it's not safe, that's what we would say in that kind of environment, or beneficial. Mike, what do we mean when we use the word beneficial?
Well, it just means that the leadership of the company values the ideas of their employees. And it really starts at the top. They set a climate whereby everybody's ideas that are presented are valid, and so therefore they should not be ridiculed. They may not be the answer to the question that they need, but at least everybody is free to speak up.
Right. Now, Lois, you mentioned something about this kind of behavior being in high school.
Mm-hmm.
But what do we mean when we say ridiculed?
Well, when we say ridiculed, we mean to laugh at someone in an unkind way, or maybe poke fun, or maybe oftentimes adults handle it by being sarcastic right away.
Mm-hmm.
Or a snap back, you know, like,
right.
Yeah.
Right. And dismissed. What do we mean when something's dismissed, Mike?
Well, if you dismiss someone's ideas, it just means in your mind and in your belief that their idea has no value.
Right. And so if this is what's happening in a brainstorming session, it's not encouraging other people to speak.
You really got to watch this as parents, because sometimes in your house you might have brainstorming sessions. And you've got to watch as parents that you don't fall into what number one is sharing with us.
Right. Okay, that's good advice. Thank you. Well, what about number two, the boss monopolizes the discussion? Mike, what do you think monopolize means?
Well, to me, monopolizes just means that he controls the entire discussion and very little opportunity is there for other people to present their ideas.
Right. Have you both experienced this before?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah?
Yes. Unfortunately, I have to say yes, and Mike says yes, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, so these are some great tips that we're learning here, listeners, about how to try to make your brainstorming session more effective by not allowing these things to happen within the brainstorming session. Well, let's go on to learn a little more in our next reading.
Three, there's no reward for presenting a terrific idea. If an idea is seized and acted upon, but the person who donated it gets no private or public acclaim, he or she quickly learns to save their best thinking for venues where there's a better chance of getting some recognition. Four, there are too many participants in the room. If there are only three, four, or five people in the meeting, each feels a sense of responsibility for keeping the conversation going. If there are 20, they can all look to others. Five, the room is filled with introverts. They generally don't speak off the cuff. They like to have an idea fully formed in their heads before they speak about it.
Okay, well, this is number three, and in number three we learned that there's no reward for presenting a terrific idea. What do we mean here, Lois?
Well, when we open with this, there's no reward for presenting a terrific idea, I was thinking, wow, so you don't get anything back.
Hmm.
So you've maybe thought about this for a long time or prepared. I was thinking maybe you've prepared a long time for a presentation, and then does everybody just sit silent in the room and you don't know what's going to happen?
Right. It says, if an idea is seized and acted upon, but the person who donated it gets no private or public acclaim, then they don't say any more. Well, I want to break this down because it's a very long sentence. It says, if an idea is seized and acted upon. What does it mean to seize something, Mike?
Well, it just means if a person presents an idea and it's a good idea, it's usually accepted, and then they try to put it into practice.
Right, good. And putting it into practice is that acted upon. But the person who donated or gave it freely gets no private or public acclaim. What do we mean there, Lois?
Well, let's break it down some more here, Amanda and Mike. When we say private, maybe you're not getting called into the boss's office and said, wow, I never even thought of that. That's such a great thing. And when you say public acclaim, you're in a brainstorming meeting with six people and you're saying right there, the boss or the leader is attributing this idea to you instantly. So actually then you get instant gratification for sharing it, right? And so either it's done privately, like we say in the public's office, or it's done publicly with a bunch of people.
Good, yeah. So here it's saying they're not getting either of those things, not in closed or behind closed doors or in a public meeting. Then they quickly learn to save their best thinking for venues or places where there's a better chance of getting some recognition. Now, what do you think that means, Mike?
Well, most companies realize today, fortunately, that employees respond to encouragement.
Yes.
And there needs to be a system of incentives to reward not only good ideas, but good work habits or good behavior. And so oftentimes if people do not feel that encouragement or do not get that praise, then maybe they'll hold back and won't perform as any company would want them to.
Good. All right, well, then we go on to point number four. There are too many participants in the room. This can also lead to not a good brainstorming session. We see that if there are only three or four people in the room, then what do they feel, Lois?
Well, they say in this case that number of people in the meeting, each feels a sense of responsibility for keeping the conversation going. If there are 20, they can all look to others.
I think sometimes we're very polite, aren't we? And we think, oh, I'll just give the time to somebody else if there's so many people in the room.
Right. Or you know what? We're kind of a little shy, or maybe we didn't study up enough before the meeting, and we'll just go, oh, somebody else could take this.
I think this is really interesting for me to see this, that I hadn't thought about it in a number sense, but actually seeing it here written down, mm-hmm. it does make sense when you think, well, even us, there's three of us here, and we're talking, but it gives the other people opportunity to also speak. But if there was 20 people here, that would be quite different. What do you think about this little tip here, Mike?
Well, I think that's a good strategy, because human nature, many people are just going to sit back and they're not going to share their ideas. Mm-hmm. That depends on your type of personality. Mm-hmm. So if you can reduce that to a group of, as it says, 3, 4, or 5 people, everybody's going to feel like, yes, I can participate in this environment.
Mm, that's good. And actually, just something you said about a different type of personality leads us to number 5. It says, the room is filled with introverts. Lois, what is an introvert?
Well, an introvert is someone who appears to the public to be shy. Mm. But really what it is somebody who maybe doesn't like all that's spinning around them. And so they just kind of want a quiet setting, and then they open up.
Right.
So I think a lot of adults, I have had this experience, once they get over 40, they often become more introverted because maybe they feel there's so much activity around them and they need to collect their thoughts. Whereas when you're younger, you're tend to be a lot more so an extrovert.
Mm.
And you have all the great things to share.
Right. Well, if the room is filled with introverts, or there are introverts in your brainstorming session, it says they generally don't speak off the cuff. What do we mean by that, Mike?
Mostly introverts just do not like to draw attention to themselves. It doesn't mean that they don't have good ideas. They're very intelligent. It's just that anything they say, they like to have it well thought out before they do it. Off the cuff just means you're just throwing ideas out there. And they may be right. They may not be completely right. But to them, that's too much risk.
Exactly. That's right. And they go on to say that in this next sentence, they like to have an idea fully formed in their heads before they speak about it. So these are some tips about what may be preventing a good brainstorm session from happening. Well, let's go on to learn a little bit more in our next reading.
Ways to ensure greater participation. First, send out an agenda outlining topics to be brainstormed at the next day's meeting, to give them time to fully process their thinking and be ready to share during the meeting. Second, announce at the end of the meeting that participants have until the next morning to let you know about additional thinking they've had overnight. Most introverts will leave the meeting, process what has transpired, and offer additional thinking, probably in a note or email, in a few hours. A final suggestion. It's possible involved parties don't understand how brainstorming could benefit them all. Tell employees how important it is for them to meet as a group and toss some ideas around and see what sticks. Give them time before the meeting to think about these matters and allow for after-the-fact recommendations as well.
Well, in this paragraph, we learn about ways to ensure greater participation. So we've gone from learning about tips that will perhaps stop a good brainstorming session to how can we get people to participate more. Now, when we want to ensure something, here we mean to make certain. So what is the first way we can ensure greater participation, Lois?
Well, it says first send out an agenda outlining topics to be brainstormed at the next day's meeting, to give the people time to fully process their thinking and to be ready to share during the meeting.
Right.
Sounds like a great idea to me. And then you covered both your introverts and extroverts.
Right. So here, if you're sending out an agenda, and an agenda is a list of the matters that you'll discuss during the meeting, outlining means just sharing the main facts that you're going to be talking about in the meeting during the next day's meeting. It says we'll give them time to fully process their thinking. Have you ever seen this in action, Mike?
Oh, sure. I mean, I always put out an agenda for our meetings. And the people, when they come to the meeting, it gives them time to prepare mentally what their thinking is on an issue, mm-hmm. and they're ready to share that. So mm-hmm. it's just a matter of time. Everybody needs time mm-hmm. for preparation.
Right. Okay, so this is also going to help people perhaps that, like Lois mentioned, that are introverts to speak up during the meeting because they've had that time to fully form an idea in their head. Well, Mike, what is the second thing we're encouraged to do?
I like it says, announce at the end of a meeting that participants have until the next morning to let you know about any additional thinking they've had overnight. I'm reminded of the phrase, Amanda, give me time to sleep on that idea. In other words, to think about it further. And oftentimes, new insights can come out of that extra amount of time that you've been given.
Right. I think myself, I've often come out of a meeting and, you know, a couple of hours later, as I've been thinking about what we discussed in the meeting, an idea will come to me. But then I didn't know how to go back and really address it later. So I think if a leader cultivates this kind of environment after the meeting, it would allow the participants to contribute further to what's going on or what's going to happen. It says most introverts will do what, Lois?
Will leave the meeting. They'll leave the meeting and process what has transpired and offer additional thinking, probably in a note or email in a few hours.
Good. Now here, transpired just means what happened during the meeting or what's happened during something. So they're able to go away, especially we mentioned introverts need more time to process what's going on, and then they are able to reply either via a note or an email to their leader in a few hours.
Right, or now it might even be like a text message, right? That's very common, even to your boss.
Yes. So it's allowing for different people to participate even after the brainstorming session has finished. Well, Lois, we see a final suggestion. What is that?
Okay, it's possible involved parties don't understand how brainstorming could benefit them all. So you need to tell your employees how important it is for them to meet as a group and have some ideas going around. And see what sticks. Give them time before the meeting to think about these matters and allow for after-the-fact recommendations as well.
Okay, so let's break this down a little bit. It's possible involved parties. Who are the involved parties that we're talking about here, Mike?
Well, involved parties are all employees. It's just the ones that have been invited to share their ideas.
Right. Okay, good. Maybe they don't understand how brainstorming could benefit them all. Maybe they're thinking it's going to benefit the company, it'll benefit my boss, but how will it benefit me personally? Well, it says tell your employees how important it is for them to meet as a group. So maybe sharing the vision of why this is an important activity. And toss, what do we mean toss by that word toss, Lois?
Okay, we're instantly thinking somebody's tossing a ball, right?
Right.
So it means just to toss something out there, it's just like, almost like you don't really think about it much. It just comes out. And sometimes the spontaneity is often the best because it's like these, if you've never done a brainstorming meeting, you cannot believe how fast action-packed they can be. And it's almost like you're playing a really fun active table game, or maybe you're playing frisbee or baseball or something like that. So you're just tossing it out there, and everybody's doing that, and it can be a lot of fun.
Good. You're making me think of the word volley. When there are players playing a tennis game, they volley the ball back and forth between both sides of the court. And so in a brainstorming session, when someone tosses an idea out or throws an idea, somebody might volley, throw back another idea. So, and there's some energy that happens during that time, and then it makes people think of another idea.
Right. I like when you have that happening, Amanda and Mike, because it's like something gets going all of a sudden, and nobody orchestrated it. It just starts.
Yeah, and they can be some great brainstorming sessions. Well, Mike, what do we mean when we see if some ideas to see what sticks? What do we mean there?
Well, all ideas are valid, but doesn't mean all ideas are necessarily useful.
Mm.
And if an idea sticks, it means, hey, we can use this idea as opposed to one idea that's probably not practical for the company.
Right. That's great. We'll give them time before the meeting to think about these matters and allow for after-the-fact recommendations as well that we mentioned. So in this article, we've learned a lot of different ways we can brainstorm better. Perhaps you've read this today or heard about this today and thought, oh, maybe I can put that into use. We would love to hear from you if you've been learning something from this. So please make sure you contact us, whether it's through our Facebook page or through email. Also, check out our topic talks. We have a little QR code in the top left-hand corner there for you to see more. And we really thank you for joining us here today. We hope that you learn a lot more about brainstorming or got some brainstorming ideas for the future. Thanks, Lois and Mike, for joining me here today. And we hope to see you again tomorrow. Until then, this is Amanda,
Lois,
and Mike
saying goodbye.
Goodbye.